It's the Score North Twin Show.
More roster moves on the Score North Extra Innings. Declan Goff here with Ross Brendel as the Twins bullpen gets a little more healthy here. We saw him back with the Twins yesterday on the bench, but he wasn't officially activated. And after a very tough decision, Matt Bowen is the casualty, if you will, of the roster crunch that is the Twins bullpen. This is Score North Extra Innings. My name's Declan Goff. That's Ross Brendel. Hit the subscribe button, hit the like button for extra innings content. Plus, you can go check out our sausage talk with Trevor Plouffe on Tuesday. I said that correctly. Go check that out. That's on this podcast feed and YouTube channel. But yeah, Yoan Duran back with the Twins, their flamethrower who missed the first basically month of the season. And you go back to spring training, was out for a few weeks there as well. But Duran back in your bullpen here. Again, Matt Bowen was the one who gets DFA'd. And this was going to be a really difficult decision. I checked in on a couple different people, Ross, on Tuesday morning, just trying to figure out, do you think it's this person? Well, it could be that guy, but they'd have to DFA him. Okay, what about Cody Funderburk? Could it be Cody Funderburk? Well, he has options, but are you really going to like jettison him after he's pitched mostly pretty well for you? That's also a good point. Well, how about Jay Jackson? Well, Jay Jackson's also been all right. You're going to lose him via way. So no matter what, they're going to do this again with Justin Topa, probably within the next 24 to 48 hours. So the Twins are going to lose members of the bullpen for guys who were expected to be part of the pecking order and up high in the trust tree. Obviously, Duran, being the flamethrower that he is, it was no surprise that eventually someone was going to falter. I'll get in some bullpen statistics here in just a second, Ross. But Duran is back in the bullpen, and I'm guessing it'll make life a lot easier now that you have one of the hardest throwing players in baseball at the back end of your bullpen.
Well, we alluded to this the last time we talked, Declan, that when these moves started coming, this was going to be a difficult decision one way or another for a multitude of reasons that you already laid out. This is also why in the offseason, when you see teams sign non-roster invitees or guys who are going to be on the 40-man roster, but maybe not with the big club when the season starts, why sometimes you kind of scoff at those and you don't necessarily pay a ton of attention to them, but they matter because it's guys who step up. They're all part of the process and help you, even for a guy like Bowman, who now will probably not clear waivers and wind up on somebody else's roster. He was able to help you win a few ball games. So that stuff matters. In the immediate, where this really matters to the Twins, no disrespect to Caleb Thielbar. I think he'll figure it out and be fine. You don't want Caleb Thielbar in the ninth inning unless it's three lefties. And even at that, you're probably going to let Duran go in and do that anyways 99% of the time. So yeah, this just slots everybody down in your bullpen, Declan, in a good way. Puts Griffin Jackson in more high leverage situations in the seventh and eighth inning. Eventually, it's going to put Topa in those positions when he comes back and he's healthy, as you mentioned, in the next 24 to 48 hours, likely. This is big for the Twins. It comes at a great time. The vibes are starting to feel good. The team, I believe, Declan, as we record, now within four games of first place, and it's not even May yet. This is a good sign for Rocco Baldelli and the Minnesota Twins. And will there be some rust with Duran? Maybe there will be. Who knows? But, you know, you kind of got to let him go out there and kind of make those, I don't know, get that figured out on the fly, because at the end of the day, still one of the best relievers in baseball, and without a doubt, one of the best closers in baseball. So good day for the Minnesota Twins. This is big for the bullpen.
So right now, too, the bullpen, who was without Duran, without Justin Topa, fared pretty well without them. They had a 2.54 ERA entering play today. That's third best in Major League Baseball. They've still been able to rack up strikeouts. Their 128 strikeouts is the third most also in Major League Baseball from that bullpen unit. So they've done a pretty good job without them. But to your point, like, Griffin Jacks has already pitched 14 times. Brock Stewart pitched 12 times. Yep. And we knew that they were going to have to rely on those guys by default. But to your point, Ross, now this makes life a little bit easier. That bridging of a gap to a victory, which yesterday got a little dicey, to your point, of having to throw Stewart and Jackson there seventh and eighth. And then you're kind of doing a shrug emoji of Caleb Thielbar in the ninth because those two guys have already thrown enough pitches. This just slots everyone back. And once you get Justin Topa back, oh my gosh, now it makes life even easier. Now, I will probably warn Twins fans, because I'm probably guilty of this too, is, oh, you're going to get Duran back, you're going to get Topa back, the bullpen's already been lights out, there's going to be some hiccups probably from one of those two guys. Heck, Jax or Stewart could also have some hiccups. Bullpens are just so volatile that, you know, one bad outing can balloon ERAs. Brock Stewart hasn't allowed a run yet, for God's sakes. I mean, he's made 12 appearances, has struck out 17 batters, opponents hitting 167 against him, hasn't allowed an earned run. Griffin Jacks has been pretty phenomenal, too, outside of a blip. So they're, as much as good as this bullpen has been, I will caution Twins fans that as much as it's going to look a lot better and probably a lot deeper on paper, you're probably still going to stumble a few times. Don't overpanic. Don't freak out. Don't boot a guy off a playoff roster like someone did on this show. Just stay the course, because most likely these three guys and those four guys are going to figure it out, and you're going to have a really good path to a victory when you usually rely on them.
Well, we've already seen the blips too, Declan. It hasn't been easy on Caleb Thielbar every time he's come back out there off of the IL. I think we all expect at some point it will get better. I think we hope that it will get better. What I really like about this, Declan, is we talk about it slotting people in different positions and getting your power arms, your flamethrowers ready in the 7th, 8th, 9th inning. One thing it also allows you to do, we want our starters to go deep in the ballgame, but one thing it also allows you to do is maybe on the right day or the right situation, you're only asking your starter to go 5-6 innings because you can set it up for the bullpen. I don't think that that's preferable, but this just allows you one more option to win a ballgame. And by the way, Duran, I think we're all comfortable enough to know, even if there are blips, Declan, I think he'll figure it out. We've seen blips from him before. All closers
happen.
You're going to blow saves. He generally is pretty good about one bad outing, two bad outings, and turning the page. And as long as he does that, when it comes to the bullpen, barring those blow-ups, which we know will happen, it's baseball, you play 162 games, they'll be just fine.
Yeah, so also with like the bullpen trust tree that they've built here, and I know some fans are concerned with, you know, the starting depth of the rotation, and this is just where baseball's headed. And last year, the Twins rotation did a really good job at eating innings. And I think last year they were like top five in innings pitched from the starting pitchers in Sonny Gray and Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, et cetera. Bailey Ober was part of that. And, you know, yes, Ryan looks good. Ober looks good. Pablo's been shaky, but I think, again, he'll figure things out. Games are becoming shorter and shorter in terms of how you bridge it to a 9-inning win. So when that happens, as Ross drops his microphone there, that's okay, Roscoe. Don't worry about it.
Marco, Polo.
When that happens, it makes life easier to bridge a victory to a bullpen. And Topas and the Durans and the Stewarts and the Jacks, yeah, I mean, you're going to see guys be like, we have to get used to, as much as, you know, people love to be old man on crowd, old man yelling at clouds. Guys are really going to go 5 or 6 innings. The days of pitchers going 7 is so rare. I think there was only 2 or 3 200 inning pitchers last year. It just doesn't happen. So this is the state. Like, you need as many bullets in the bullpen. And if you're going to be a serious team, as we saw, I know it hasn't worked out with the Astros this year, but typically these good teams can pitch and they have options in the pen. And that's how the Twins can win some victories here. If their offense can remain at least somewhat consistent, they're not going to have an 1,000 OPS for the rest of the year. But I feel pretty good if the Twins have a 3-2 lead going into a late-inning situation or a one-run game with the arms that are in the bullpen.
Well, especially, again, right now, Brock Stewart, I'll probably put a hex on him. He looks borderline unhittable. I mean, it's incredible the filth that he's throwing right now. On the starters, Declan, really great point. I mean, we see it all the time in comments. Oh, well, they need more starting pitching. They need to go deeper into ball games. To a large part, I agree with that, but I would challenge people, to your point, Declan, go around and look at everybody's rotation. Go around and look at everybody's rotation of teams that are more than likely going to win their division and make the playoffs. They look fairly similar to the Minnesota Twins. Maybe the top end talent is better, and maybe the top three starters are slightly better. But pretty much everybody else, Declan, is trotting out fourth and fifth starters where you're just praying to stay in the ballgame. This problem is not unique to the Minnesota Twins. That's why having a bullpen that can come in legitimately 4 or 5 different guys that can give you an inning every night if need be and shut people down. And I think, Declan, to the Twins' credit, we're starting to see that they probably do have that. We thought this would be a strength of the team going into the year, and here we are, what, 30 games into the season, roughly, it appears to be a strength.
Yeah, I mean, in the words of Clark W. Griswold, you know, take a look around you, Ellen. We're in the threshold of hell. You know, that's how you have to get. That's how you have to get through a ball game at this point. You need as many arms as possible in the pen. So, yeah, the Twins have survived without them. The bullpen has been really good. I'm excited to see Duran throw 98, 99. You know, actually, Griffin Jacks, as much as as much as Duran has a really fun entrance on a Friday night, and especially a summer night in Target Field, Griffin Jacks with Nas and or with X Gon' Give It To You has also been really, really awesome to see. So there's actually like some fun build up here that fans can get really excited for when they do go to Target Field. And I know you were very anti-Oregon yesterday, so at least the entrances, you can make up for that to a degree. So
I do want to continue to clarify, I'm not anti-Oregon. I am anti the amount of Oregon based off the comments. It appears, well, one, I feel bad. According to a few people, I broke the Oregon at Target Field for them. So apologies on that. Now that I've told you about it, you'll never not notice how often that darn thing gets played. Which does bring me to, are you ready for a Ross quick hitter, or do you have more?
Okay. No, I think that's probably it. I mean, the only other thing would be, you know, they're going to have to do this again with Justin Topa probably in the next day or two. And again, I think those are the guys we laid out yesterday. I think that might be a Jay Jackson DFA. That could be a Cody Funderburk because he has options. Send down, not a DFA, but a send down. It's going to be another tough decision coming once Topa is also activated.
The Jay Jackson part, before I get to the quick hitter, that's interesting because it is possible people may look at it and say, oh, that's a, you know, it's a fair amount of cash. But I honestly don't know. I mean, that's the way that I lean just off of things that we talked about, Declan. It's not that they don't trust him. It's just that he is the guy right now, for the most part, getting the least amount of work in any impactful situation. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes when we do this again in the next day or two. And then, oh, and my best Patrick Royce, by the way, that's a really bad one.
By the way,
we're going to do this again when Royce Lewis comes back. More than likely a hitter, a position player is going to go out that hopefully at the time is doing fairly well, which brings me to my segue, Declan.
Okay.
Favorite Major League Baseball prototypical, for the most part, they were a leadoff hitter. Your favorite leadoff hitter of all time?
Oh, man.
Who would that be? And it can, if you want to just simplify it to Twins, you can do that.
For sure.
I may just do that. I'll let you stall for a bit while I tap dance.
Oh, man.
Back in the day before we found out he was not the world's greatest human being, I was a big Chuck Knobloch guy. I have literally 40 different Chuck Knobloch cards, a couple things signed by Chuck Knobloch. I love Chuck Knobloch. Even relatively recent history, Juan Pierre was great. If he made contact, you weren't getting him out. If that ball was on the ground, he was getting a hit. And Luis Castillo early on in his career. And the Twins got a good version of Luis Castillo, but they didn't get the best version of Luis Castillo. That one in Florida that gave a run at the consecutive hit record, that was a good version too. But Knobloch and Juan Pierre are probably my guys, and you can't forget Kenny Lofton, because if he made it to first base, he just stole second. Mm-hmm. A single for him was basically a double.
So, I mean, Juan Pierre is 100% near the top of that list for me. I love me some Juan Pierre. Luis Castillo was good. You know, he wasn't really a leadoff hitter, but he was part of those Piranhas. I was a big Jason Tyner fan, who was more of a nine hitter than he was a leadoff hitter, but he was going to hit singles and
career home run, I believe, came at Progressive Field for the Twins.
That sounds, I believe, correct. Yes, the one home run for Jason Tyner. You know, I mean, there's notable ones. Kenny Lofton was a good one. Barry Larkin, I think, did some leadoff hitting as well for the Reds at one point. You know, I know this might be sensitive to some, but I do love me some Derek Jeter. So Derek Jeter, as much as some people hate him and think he's one of the most overrated players of all time, I mean, there's a reason he did not move from his spot in the lineup for a good amount of reason. Good top of the order dude there, too. I'm trying to think of who else. You know, I stand for the Ben Reveres and the Denard Spans, because a lot of those guys, especially like Ben Revere retired. Let me just pull this up. Like, Ben Revere, if he had played in the mid-90s and 2000s, would have had a longer career. Ben Revere was a career 284 hitter. His last season in the MLB was in 2017. He played in 109 games with the Angels and had an average of 275, and no one picked him up again.
Shows just you how because, much the game's changed.
Yeah, because no one values that type of hitter anymore. And look, I get it. And there was also, you know, Ben Revere had an arm as strong as mine. But you look at it, someone like that who literally was hitting 275 and hitting 300 with the Phillies, and he is out of baseball before his 30th birthday because that has just changed. So, no, I stand with some good leadoff hitters. Ben Revere is one of them. Juan Pierre is, like, legit one of my favorite players ever. So, yeah, there's some good ones in there. For sure.
To your point very quickly on Ben Revere, what ended up doing it for Ben Revere was the same time frame that you're talking about. I'm driving home one day listening to the mighty 1500 ESPN here in the Twin Cities, and our good buddy Manny Hill is yucking it up with our other buddy, Patrick Roycey, and Manny reads him the lineup and tells him for the Blue Jays that Batista is batting number one, and Roycey just goes, "I quit!" You know, so if you got guys like Jose Batista batting leadoff, that kind of takes the prototypical leadoff hitter out of the game. But that was, to your point, I think you said 90s, Declan, that was a fun era of baseball. You know, you knew what the lineup was for the most part every day, and you'd get guys on the table setters, right? And you still see that today in Major League Baseball. To a degree, we've kind of seen a reversion back to that. But that is your quick hitter for the day. I'll come prepared the next time we talk to.
No, I love it, man. Thank you. Thank you to Ross for providing his great insight on organs and leadoff hitters and ballpark snacks as well. So you can expect a lot of that here on the Score North Extra Innings Twin Show. Hit the subscribe button, hit the like button. This has been Score North Extra Innings. Again, go check out our episode with Trevor Plouffe talking about sausage with Mackie Judd and myself as well. We'll be at you another time.